Happy Sabbath, family. Worship team, thank you so much for singing this morning and setting the tone for what we're going to be talking about. Anastasia, thank you for your special music as well, talking about walking with our Father. This is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, actually. So I want to ask you guys, honest question. Has anyone here wrestled with God? How many of you can say that you are seasoned veterans at wrestling with God? Well, thank you. Thank you guys for being honest with me. And I want to invite, if you are here right now at a place where you are wrestling with God, I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. Because what we're going to talk about today is going to be about the blessing that comes with wrestling from God. So today, Rochelle and I would like to share the story of Jacob wrestling with God. And in this story, we want to ask you guys three questions. Number one, is it safe to wrestle with God? Is it safe? Why does God choose to wrestle with you? And the third question, how does God bless during the wrestling? Is it safe to wrestle with God? Why does God choose to wrestle with you? And what is the blessing that comes from wrestling with God? And I believe that by answering these questions, we'll be able to see the uncommon love that's found from wrestling with God.
So today I want to invite you to come along as I look at the similarities between my story and Jacob's. As I began to study this story a bit more in depth to prepare for this sermon, it became much more personal for me as I began to see that Jacob had a story much like mine, and that many of the important points in his journey also showed up in my own. Let me start by introducing you to the darkness, like the darkness that Jacob was in, that God met me in, and where my wrestling with him began. When I was growing up, I'm sure I looked like the model Christian. I listened to the Bible in Living Sound all the time, and read enough of the Bible to know pretty much anything that a Sabbath school teacher or a Bible teacher would ask me in class. A lot of the time, if the kids didn't know the answer, they would point at me and go, "Oh, ask Rochelle, she'll know." And I even got baptized when I was quite young, when I was about 7. And I'm not saying that these things are bad. I did feel a true calling to get baptized. But as I grew up, I didn't truly understand what it meant to have a personal relationship with God. And so I began to drift more away from him and just more or less go through the motions of looking like I was a good Christian and like I was following him. Had my walk with him together. And then the phone call came. It was early on a school morning when the phone call came. I thought it must be exciting since people don't really call each other at 6 a.m. And it turns out it wasn't exciting, but it was rather earth-rattling. When my dad got off the phone, he told my mom and I that my granddad, who was in the Ukraine doing health evangelism work at the Adventist hospital there, had gone missing after his morning walk. I was shocked. This was the kind of thing that you saw on the news and not something that would happen to our family. But I expected he would be found quickly. Maybe he'd just fallen. Nothing serious could be wrong. Besides, why would God let anything bad happen to someone who was such a good person and who was obviously trying to do work for God? But a week went by, and we didn't hear anything about him. Then 2 weeks, then a month, and then a year, which turned into about 2.5 years of nothing. Silence from what felt like both God and the Ukraine. It was so hard because I felt that God had utterly abandoned me. I was praying, my entire family was praying, my church and my grandmother's church were praying, many other churches, even probably more people than I even know about, even now, hearing from so many people who've been praying. And even like my classmates' families would keep my granddad in their prayers every night. But it seemed that nothing was coming from the praying. I felt as if God had abandoned me all alone by myself. And wasn't he supposed to have my best interest at heart? Because of the stress and heartache of my granddad's disappearance, my grandmother's health had declined. She was struggling with severe hearing fluctuations, which forced her to quit her job as a professional organist, which was a job she really loved. And that discouraged her even further, leaving her with the need for people to care for her. our family ended up being the ones to care for her, but this meant a three-hour drive every other or occasionally every weekend to go see her in Yakima for around a year and a half. This left me feeling alone and discouraged and then exhausted on top of that. I didn't feel accepted at school. I was dealing with bullying, and I ended up having to change schools at the end of that year, which left me feeling even more unstable and isolated. Through all of this, I wondered, where had God gone? Where did he disappear to when I needed him most? Did he not care that I was hurting so deeply and felt so alone? Why would he only answer the little things that I prayed for and not my huge, big, unanswered questions that I desperately wanted answers to? How did God make the tough calls on who got the answers that they had prayed for and who got the bad answers that nobody wants? There were even more than two of us gathered in his name praying. Why wouldn't he answer like the Bible said he would?
I don't know about you, but hearing all these questions that Rochelle talks about makes me think about all the times that I wrestle with these same questions. And honestly, this is the kind of wrestling that allows us to understand God on a deeper level. If we're not asking these types of questions to God, we're not getting deep with him. So I want to ask you guys to open up your hearts to the uncommon love that's found when you genuinely wrestle with God. So let's pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for this time and space that we get to be with you, that we get to say, God, it is safe to wrestle with you. And so I ask and pray that you reach us in the most intimate parts of our hearts. Take our fears, take our doubts, our insecurities, our false identities, whatever it may be, and just transform our hearts through the words that Rochelle is going to speak. Please bless her and bless everyone that's here right now. We love you so much. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go to the story found in Genesis 32, verses 22 to 24. And you'll see that it is titled, Jacob Wrestles with God. So Genesis 32, 22 to 24. So it says this, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. And get this, it says, a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So we find Jacob wrestling a man, the Bible says. But this isn't just any man. As Ellen White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 197, she says, this is Christ, the angel of the covenant. So put yourselves in Jacob's shoes. You are wrestling with this man, this angel of the covenant. So let me ask you, as you're wrestling with him, do you feel safe? Would you feel safe? This is our first question. Is it safe to wrestle with God? So, Rochelle, do you feel like you were safe to wrestle with God?
In hindsight, I've realized that wrestling with God is safe. It isn't a sin, and it doesn't make us a bad Christian. Jacob, who literally wrestled hand to hand with God, basically a fight, is mentioned in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. But in my moments of doubt and wrestling, I didn't feel that it was safe. I felt that my doubt was wrong and that I should keep it safely locked away where no one could see it. And I also thought that maybe my darkness was too dark for God to be a part of and to enter into with me. Those darkest times for me were probably both in the first bit of my granddad going missing, but also after his body was found. In December of 2015, we got another call, the same kind that no one wants to get. My granddad's body had been found in the ventilation shaft of a building off the park that he had been walking in. Now I had to adjust my view of the entire situation and to deal with a fresh wave of grief. On top of that, my dad broke his leg only 14 days after we got the call about my granddad, and he had to have surgery. Merry Christmas to us indeed. My thought through all of this was, how could God let all these bad things be happening to us, one right after the other? Didn't he know that we couldn't handle one more thing? Thankfully, my family and I were able to make it through that hard time. God even gave us little blessings to help keep us strong, like friends giving us a tree and friends decorating our house for Christmas. But during this time, there were also the hard trials of feeling as though the struggles I faced should be kept all to myself instead of shared with others. No one seemed to get it, and they all just seemed to think that life could be worse. God will take care of you. Just trust him and smile. Things will be okay. This just fed into all that I had been telling myself. I felt that I was a bad Christian for my doubt and questions about God. My family has always been really strong Christians, and I never felt like I measured up to them. I didn't see any of them wrestling with God the way I was, and I definitely didn't see any of my friends or my peers, the people that were my age, searching for God like I was. I thought that I just had to keep on the exterior, that I had it all together and had my relationship with God together too, to be accepted and to have people not see the bad Christian that I was. I felt guilty having so many doubts about God. I felt guilty because, pray as I would, I didn't feel any closer to God. None of the sermons I heard seemed to make any difference either. It was as if I was numb to Christianity, and I wondered what was wrong with me. Sometimes I would feel as if I would catch a glimpse of God and his presence for a second, but then, like fog, it would just disappear and melt away, leaving me feeling inadequate again. Things that would touch other people just didn't do anything for me, and I wondered why. Was I truly a bad Christian? Did I not have enough faith in God? Is that why I couldn't seem to have a personal walk with him? Why, when I was begging God to show up in my life, did he stay silent and distant? I'm sure some of the ways I was feeling at that time in my life, scared, alone, and hurting, were similar to the feelings Jacob was dealing with in Genesis 32. When you look at his prayer to God in verses 9 through 12, you see him cry out to God, telling God, "You said you would take care of me. Now please do what you said." So the next night, when Jacob was at his lowest and in his darkest, God came to him and met him in that darkness, literally wrestling with Jacob. Jacob had taken his family and his animals, everything he owned, across the Jabbok River. After he had his family all safely across, he went back over the river by himself. So there Jacob must have sat, alone, in the darkness, scared of what the next day would bring. And I wonder what thoughts were passing through his head. The Bible isn't clear on why Jacob stayed by himself on that side of the river, but it makes me wonder how low he really was and if he was truly able to trust God's protection of him. As he sat there alone, a man appeared and began to wrestle with Jacob. But the man wasn't just any man. It was God's son himself, Jesus. This shows us and gives us proof that God truly is safe to wrestle with. God presented himself to Jacob to wrestle with. Jacob didn't ask for God to come wrestle with him, but God knew what he needed most and stepped into his darkness with him, giving him the assurance that he was worth it, and then eventually dealing with some of Jacob's biggest issues and insecurities. God is truly willing to step into our darkness with us. We may not always feel him, but he is there, in the darkness and the mess and the brokenness with us. He longs to help us reach a better place, and that's why he allows us to wrestle with him. He doesn't want us to stay as we are because he sees who we can become. He sees us as we were created to be, as he intended us to be. There's a quote that says that God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. So with that in mind, know that yes, God is safe to wrestle with. He has your best interest at heart. But at the same time, he's not, because you won't stay the way you were. The wrestling certainly won't be comfortable. It never is. But don't be afraid to invite God into your darkness and mess. He wants to be close to you and to get involved in your life. So I challenge you to wrestle with God. Let him shape you into who you were meant to be.
So God is safe to wrestle with, even though the journey can be very, very hard and challenging and painful. But like Rochelle said, God chose to send Christ to wrestle with Jacob, and he's choosing to send him to wrestle with you. So the second question is this: why? Like, why does God choose to wrestle with you? Let's go to verse 25. So Genesis 32, verse 25, it says, "When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man." So God chose to wrestle with Jacob so he could touch him where he was most vulnerable. And guess what? God chooses to touch you in the most impactful part of your journey. Think about that right now. So Rochelle, based on your experience, how did God touch you where you were most vulnerable?
As I look back on my granddad's disappearance, at the time, I had absolutely no idea why God would let such an awful and trying time happen to my family. But now that I can look back on it a little, I see God's hand even in the struggle. No, I wouldn't have chosen to go through it if I knew that I could get to where I am now a different way. I would have chosen that way. I wouldn't even say that the good that's come out of the experience negates or equalizes the pain that that same experience brought, but I can see how God has brought good out of it. One of the main ways I think God has blessed me through it is by bringing me closer to Him and bringing into the light some of the biggest lies that I played in my head almost constantly about myself. I think this is also why God chose to wrestle with Jacob. But to get Jacob to be able to truly listen to him, God had to touch him where it would force him to stop and to be brought to his knees and listen. Isn't it interesting that where God touched Jacob is somewhere that would basically force him to his knees at Jesus' feet? I think that this was also God's goal in my life, to bring me to his feet and to have him become my first priority, his word in my life, what he says about me, the highest, most true statements about me. By forcing me to deal with my relationship with him first, by giving me a true hunger and a desire for answers in a close personal relationship with God, he was able to then shape the rest of my life after that, and to give me the start of the relationship with him I was longing for. This is why God chooses to wrestle with us sometimes. When he wrestles us with us, it gives us the opportunity to be intimate with him, and it also gives him the opportunity to hit the most tender areas of our souls and our identities, and often the root of many of our most pivotal and deep-seated insecurities and issues. If we're going to see change in our lives and allow God to shape us into who we're meant to be, we need to truly let him do his work in us. Don't shy away from the pain that may come from his touch in your life. Pain isn't fun, but it is sometimes the way God will choose to shape you. He can use a pain-filled experience to bring good and to make you stronger. I wouldn't have chosen the method involving pain in my life to get where I am now, but it was the way that God chose, and I wouldn't choose to be any other person than the person God is shaping me to be. So be ready to embrace the mess and pain with God and allow him to shape and to touch you where you really need it.
In the safety of wrestling with God, he touches us where we need it the most. But he doesn't just like touch us and leave us like that. No, he touches us and then goes on to bless us. And it's shown here in verse 26 to 28. It says, "Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.'" As you were saying, God touched Jacob in his weakest spot so that he could force him to listen and also prepare him to receive the blessing that God had for him. And so in your journey, Rochelle, how has God blessed you through the wrestling? And how do you see God blessing Jacob through his wrestling?
As I struggled through the last several years of my relationship with God, I wondered when he would actually show up in my life. I've been asking so many questions and asking and pleading with God for him to show up in my life for what felt like an eternity to me. At camp meeting last year, though, was when I finally began to get serious about trying to do something with my relationship with God. At one of the meetings, Pastor Johnny Moore spoke about something, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I do remember something he asked us to do as he began his talk. He put a phone number up on the screen and said to text that number, a number between 1 and 3, I believe, to represent where our relationship with God was, and then to say if we would maybe want to meet with a group like others that felt that same way about God. And I did text the number, and I typed in the number that represented that I didn't have a strong relationship with God. And I think I also put in an explanation about how I'd like to be closer to God, but I don't know how to get there. And lastly, I typed in saying I'd love to talk to someone about it, but I didn't want to in a group. I felt ashamed of the way that I felt about my relationship with God, and I was worried that people would judge me and finally see through my good Christian facade. I ended up meeting with Pastor Johnny one-on-one that camp meeting, and his ways of seeing God and Christianity began to have an impact on how I saw God and my wrestling with him. He brought the idea that wrestling was all right and even good in my life, and his worldview of God with the idea that there are personal answers that God will give that work for just us, and commended me for the way I was thinking and questioning God. While this didn't change all of my ways of thinking or the lies I was telling myself, it at least made me a bit more comfortable in the wrestling, and it gave me the sense that people, a pastor even, were supporting me and were willing to walk with me in my journey, and that they were even proud of me. Even still, it was hard to keep my faith up. Some days were extra hard, and most of the time I continued to feel as if what I got from God was silence and distance. And then this year's camp meeting rolled around. The first night of camp meeting, one of my friend's moms went to Young Adult, and she came back to the campsite that we were all staying at and began talking about the meeting she'd just gone to. And she told her son, "You really need to go to Young Adult tomorrow night. The speaker is amazing. He's wonderful, phenomenal." And so the next night, he decided to go to Young Adult. And I was going to go to youth like I normally did. But when I got there, I just wasn't interested. It just wasn't doing anything for me. And I thought, well, my friends are all in Young Adult, and I've heard the speaker's really amazing, so I'll just go and see what it's like. And if it really is that wonderful, then maybe I'll actually get something out of this week. So I went, and I'm sure that it was a God thing that I did. The entire week became a huge blessing for me. It was as if every message Pastor Jonathan shared were just for me. It felt as if God was finally speaking into my life, and I was willing to listen. Every night, I would go hear the sermon and inevitably end up crying against my strongest resolution not to that night because of how true it seemed in my own life, how much it resonated with me, and how much it dealt with my biggest struggles. I think that's how God's blessing for Jacob was to him. It hit home at one of the things that I believe had tormented Jacob for the longest, and that was his identity and who he believed he was because of what others had told him. When you read verses 26 to 28 in the Message version, and you compare it to where Jacob's named in Genesis 25, you see a very stark contrast between the name his earthly parents gave him and the new name and identity that God, his heavenly Father, gives him. In Genesis 25:26, you see that Jacob is named Jacob, and that translates to heel or heel grabber, which isn't a name that screams value or worth. It's a name that probably haunted him, especially given what else the Bible tells us about Jacob and his family. The Bible is also very clear about what Isaac and Rebekah thought of their children. It says that Isaac loved Esau and that Rebekah loved Jacob. Now imagine how that must have felt to Jacob. His own dad loved his brother much more than him, and on top of that, his parents named him Heel. Now, fast forward many years. Jacob has had to leave home because his brother wants to kill him for lying to his father and stealing the blessing that belongs to Esau. That's the first shortcoming. Then, after Jacob has worked for Laban for 7 years to gain the hand of the woman he loves, he's given her sister, who he doesn't love, and is forced to work 7 more years to be able to marry Rachel. Shortcoming number 2. And then shortcoming number 3. Now Jacob's worried that he won't even be able to provide for or protect his own family. He's scared his own brother is going to kill them all. All through Jacob's life, he must have felt inadequate. And now here it's all coming to a head with what he feels is he and his family's imminent death the next morning. And that's when God comes to him and says this to him in verses 26 to 28. The man said, "Let me go. It's daybreak." Jacob said, "I'm not letting you go till you bless me." The man said, "What is your name?" He answered, "Jacob." The man said, "But no longer. Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, it's Israel, God wrestler. You've wrestled with God and you've come through." God gives a clear shift in Jacob's identity. He's no longer Heel or second best. He's God wrestler, someone who wrestled with God and with other people and succeeded, stuck it through and came out on the other side having won a wrestling match with God and others in his life. God then blesses him. We don't know what God says in that blessing, but I think that maybe the most significant and important part of that blessing is the name change. It says to Jacob, "You're valued, you're loved, you're more than the mistakes you've made, and I love you so much more than you could ever imagine." It tells Jacob he has a purpose and an identity and that he's more than what others see in him. What God sees in him is a perfect son, deserving of his love, pride, and acceptance. "This is what God did for me at camp meeting. He met me where I was at and systematically began tearing down the lies that the devil had been telling me for so long. He met me where I was and told me that he loved me, that nothing I could ever do would be able to change that. For the longest time, I've struggled with the idea and the lies that I was never enough, never good enough. I've always felt that I just had to do more to earn acceptance, to help others, to make sure my friends were safe, to gain my friends and my family's love, and to even gain God's love." What really was hit home to me that week was that that's not how God sees me. God sees me as his loved, perfect, and beautiful daughter. He sees me clothed in Christ's righteousness, and he sees the full potential of my purpose in him. I learned that I have power through Christ and his Holy Spirit. Through him, I can accomplish more than I would have ever dreamed possible. I am not the sum of my mistakes and accomplishments, but instead, I'm the sum of his love and grace for me and the power that he's blessed me with as a daughter of God and an heir to his kingdom. I believe that this is what God wants to give everyone. He wants to give it to you and to me. He doesn't want us to see ourselves the way that others see us or through the lens of lies that the devil shows us. He wants us to see ourselves through his lens of love and to see the perfect, infinitely loved people we were created to be. I believe this is one of the blessings of wrestling with God. When we allow God to intimately touch our lives, he can come in and touch us where we're most broken and torn, healing that and then mending it so that we can continue on the path to being the creation that he intended us to be. So I challenge you to let him in, to let him see the pain and the hurt and the darkness. You may have to slog through the swamp of despair, and you may feel as if you'll never be whole again. But God longs to bring us into the identity that he has for us. So let him in and let him heal you where you're most broken.
I'm going to go a little bit off script and say something that I didn't say in first service. You are someone who is a deep well. You have so much depth to you. And like the way that you're speaking and bringing out your heart is so real and authentic. It's a blessing to everyone here. And this is why it's important to wrestle with God, right? Because you're tapping into that well. And we all get to be part of your story. And so thank you. Honestly, thank you so much for just being real and authentic with us. Hearing the story of Jacob and Rochelle's story has been a blessing for me this whole week. It's been really like fun to go back into, even though I didn't say much to you, going back into my own story and remembering all the times I wrestled with God. And I hope as you guys have been hearing these things, it's been a blessing to you too. These two beautiful journeys have shown us the character of God. And it goes like this: God is safe to wrestle with. And so we're challenged to wrestle with him. God is so intimate that he touches us where we will be most impacted. And so we're called out to live out his identity for us. And this isn't the identity that the world puts on us or that the devil tries to put in us or even our own false reality identity that we have for ourselves. No, this is the identity that God puts in us that we get to live out. Just like what you're doing, Rochelle. And so like Rochelle said earlier, we are able to live out God's identity through the power of Christ and Christ alone, because he wrestled with sin to the point of death. And because of that sacrifice, we're able to live as sons and daughters of God. So how does all this give us any hope? What does living in God's identity, how does that give us hope?
So one of the passages that has given me hope is in the first chapter of the book of James. And these verses have become a blessing for me as I've looked back on my experience. And as I look forward to my future walk with God, and even if that walk involves more trials. So I'm going to read to you James 1:2-6. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced out into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and you won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. And then verse 12. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. So as I began to try to live out the reality of my newfound identity in Christ, over the next few weeks, things weren't perfect. I struggled to keep a hold of the identity God had given in me in him, and to fight off the lies that Satan continues to throw at me. I went through a really hard experience, a week that was just awful. And that experience left me questioning both God and myself as a follower of him and the things that I believed about him. But something that stood out to me after that experience was this: because I've intimately wrestled with God, I now feel I'm safe to wrestle with him on any issue, any question that arises in my mind. Only this time I'm able to wrestle with him by my side, him helping me through whatever the devil puts me through. So take hope in these verses and the story of Jacob. Know God is working in your life, even through the pain and the challenges, and that sticking through the challenges is really worth it. God is only weaving together the threads of your life to create a beautiful story and an even more beautiful you, the you you were created to be. I thank you for this Sabbath, and I thank you for the opportunity to step into the identity that you've given us and that you're with us in our darkness and in our wrestling. Please help us to feel you there and to be willing to let you work in our lives. Thank you, and help us to go into this new week with renewed strength and with a renewed sense of our identity in you. In Jesus' name, amen.